How are you today? Amen. Are you ready to hear the words of God? Amen. God is good? All the time? God is good. So our parasha this morning is Tasria. Tasria. And it means God provides Moses with the law of purification after childbirth. And he also gave the law concerning affliction of the skin. So, Tasarat is accurately translated into leprosy. And can show up on a clothing of totally the word Tasarat, it might be come from the word Aramaic. It means segerata, or meaning isolation. So, Tasarat can show up on a clothing as green and red patches. Even on walls are perhaps it mildew. So it causes spiritual defilement and require purification in a time of isolation to prevent the spread of contamination. Sometimes at work, you know, there are some patients that they don't really understand why we are wearing isolation gown, because they are contaminated, they are contagious, right? But anyway, since Passover is fast approaching, let's put in some ways our parasha and let's concentrate about the Passover, right? So the particular feast that we're looking for today is the feast of Pesach or Passover. And this is the primary scripture that I'm going to talk is found in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2 to 13. So before that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to come into your house and worship with our fellow brethren, O Lord. Yes, there are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who put his trust on him. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know you and we accept you as our Lord and Savior. We believe on you, Lord. We trust on you. In Yeshua's name, amen. As I've said, the particular feast that we are looking for today is about the feast of Passover. But before I will start my message, let me ask you this question. What is your favorite holiday and why? Okay, you don't need to answer me. I think it's one of us having a favorite, right? Favorite holidays. In a year, we celebrate different kinds of holidays, like Feast of Purim, Feast of Sukkot, Hanukkah, and some religion, they celebrate, we call it Christmas. Right? So, there is a lot of holidays that we could celebrate. So, Pesach maybe will be the most central feast on the Jewish calendar. It celebrates the Exodus from Egypt, not something that happened in the history of Israel, but it's happening reality in life. The holidays that we celebrate, all of them are more than just festivities. It is not just about partying or celebrating. I believe that in every holidays that we are celebrating, there is a deeper meaning, right? There is a deeper meaning, even though for some who celebrate, that meaning may be forgotten. Or some, they may ignore. But all feasts are something need to be remembered. Sometimes we need to remember the person that we met. Sometimes we remember the events that we're doing. And sometimes we remember the blessing that we received from our friends, from our family, from our son, daughter. All of those things is kinds of remembering. Right? We need to remember. And those holidays, it remind us to remember something that is already done. And so, and each of them a reminder of something that we don't want to forget. And so we celebrate most of the holidays as annual basis in order to remind us to do such things. Now, for the people of Israel, God established the whole series of holidays or a feast as a sign of remembering something that God has done among the people of Israel. They will remember of what God has done so that they would give praise and thanksgiving to God. And God don't want his people to forget. But from his perspective, there is more to its celebration than just look at the past and what God had already done. So in all the feasts, we celebrate as annual basis rather than celebrating for their own purposes. But there are also some aspects of the feast that point out not only for the past, it's also point out for the future, and something that God is going to do in the future among his people. And so there is a prophetic part to every feast that we are going to observe. Right? As I've said, there is a deeper meaning while we always do celebrating some holidays. And some of those things that God predicted that were going to happen in the future, and from our perspective, all feasts were established in the past. But many of those things that the feasts represent were accomplished in the coming of Yeshua during the first time. But some are yet to be accomplished and will be accomplished in his second coming. So, there are two images that surrounds the Passover that I want to focus this morning. The first one is the image of bandage. And the second is the image of sacrifice. The first one, Passover, begin with the image of bondage. Open our Bible in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2 to 13. It says here in Exodus, "Now Adonai spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month will be marked the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one lamb for the household. But if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor are to take one according to the number of the people. According to its person eating, you are to make your count for the lamb. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a year old male. In verse 13 or 12, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am Adonai. Verse 13, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, so there will be no plague among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. As I've said, there are two things that we need to discuss this morning. The first one is the bandage, the image of bandage. In order to understand the Passover, we need to understand the history of the people of Israel. We need to understand that the people of Israel, most of us remember, they're from the descendants of Abraham through his grandson Jacob. And when Jacob and his family were just a small group, I think there are only 70 people. 70 people. And since according to the book of Exodus, there was a famine happen in the land of Canaan or Israel. Because of this famine, the Hebrew patriarch Jacob traveled with extended family of 70s to both live in a better condition and be with his son Joseph. And Joseph, wisdom had impressed the Pharaoh of Egypt to the point that he was appointed to be a prime minister or viceroy, they called it. It's with a second power only to Pharaoh. And years pass, and within these 70 people, the Egyptians saw that the Israelites are prosper and rapidly multiplies by millions. Imagine from 70 people become millions. So these numbers were so great. By the way, the name Israel, as a reminder, the name Israel derives from the name given to Jacob according to Genesis 28. When God said, your name is no longer Jacob, we call you Israel, right? So your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God, with the humans, and have overcome. Now during that time, Jacob families, as I've said, there are only 70s. And the word Israel comes from Yehuda or Judah, and one of the 12 sons of Jacob. So Pharaoh had become afraid because these Israelites are growing up. They're growing, right? So Pharaoh had become afraid of the economic and the population growth among the Israelites and had become threatened by their growing influence, feeling that some point these people will rise up and rebel, and this would one day overthrow the Egyptian government. Of course, maybe if we are on Pharaoh's shoes, that's also what we feel, right? Oh, they are growing. Maybe someday they will overthrow us. So the uprising in the Jewish people made the Egyptian people nervous. To avoid any time of conflict, he made the children of Israel as slaves. The children of Israel bore the excruciating burden of servitude for many years, and the burden had become more than that they could not bear. In Exodus 1:4, it says here, Egyptian people made their lives of Israelites bitter with harsh labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. It's not a pleasant experience, right? It's not a pleasant experience for the Israelites. There are bandages of slavery, but there is a good news. When the turning point came for the people Israel, finally came when they cried out to God for help, what will happen? God rescued them. Now, maybe you have asked me, since they are people of God, they are children of God, why would God allow them to go under prison for such a long period of time? How God can leave them as an slave in the land of Egypt? Why? Do you have any idea? Why God allowed them to be bondage in slavery? This is the answer. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23-25. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. In verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw everything, what's going on or what's happened to Israel. There are times that God allow us such things happen to us until such time we reach the kinds of desperation for us to learn how to cry out to God. Maybe during those time, the Israelites endured their lives. Maybe it doesn't come up to their mind about the help of asking help for Yeshua, because they thought that they can do everything. Oh, we are strong. We are knowledgeable. I can do that. We don't need God. But God is not a gate crusher. He just wants them. Until such time, they realize that they cannot do anything about themselves. They realize that they need God. Then that's the time they cried out to God. And God listened to them. That's why God allowed these things to happen to Israelites, because he wants them to realize that they really need Yeshua in their lives. They really need Yeshua in their lives. So the people of Israel were willing to think they could handle what was going on. They thought they could protect themselves. They thought they could make themselves freely in the hands of Egyptian people. So God is not helping them at this time, because they're so pride, right? They're so boastful, maybe. But once they came to the point of desperation, they groaned in slavery and cried out to God. It was then when God responded to their crisis or to their cries, because they believed in God and trusted him, they responded positively with God's provision for rescue. God used Moses. God speak to Moses through the burning bush. So it is important lesson for us to learn about the story of Passover. God came to rescue his people, but how did the people of Israel access this rescue that comes from God? By accepting that they cannot do anything by themselves, by crying out to God and acknowledge that apart from God, they cannot do anything from Him. So, God rescued the Israelites or the Jews when they started calling and asking help to Yeshua. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, chapter 3, verse 1 to 17, we can see here the story of Moses and his father-in-law. And through this passage, Yeshua, or God, sent Moses to rescue the Israelites, to rescue them. And another lesson that we learn from the Passover story, they are not only cried out to Yeshua, but when Moses gathered the people of Israel and told them that God sent him a rescuer and led them into freedom, they believed and trusted God. So, from the image of bondage, because they cried out for help and they believed, trusted Yeshua, God rescued them. So that's the one thing that we always remember during Passover, that when we cried out to Yeshua for help and we believe and trust on Him, He sent us the rescuer. Unless we don't believe on Him, trust on Him, we're not crying out for Him, He never come. He will let you do something, whatever you want, until you realize that there is God that able to help you. In Exodus 4, verse 29 to 31, it says, "And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped." When the people now ready, according to Exodus 5:1, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh that saith the Lord of Israel, let my people go." The first time, Pharaoh, he will not let them go. Right? So, God sent Moses to Pharaoh and requested that he let the children of Israel go, that they may worship God, the Lord, their God. And this antagonized Pharaoh, and he stubbornly refused to accede to Moses' request. As a result, his nation was hit with several divinely inspired plagues. So, Pharaoh said to Moses, when Moses asked Pharaoh to let his people go, said, "No, I will not let them go." And God allowed Moses to perform sign after sign in order to demonstrate to Pharaoh and the people of Egypt that God is a powerful God and almighty, because he wanted to know that the God whom they are serving is a powerful God. Because of his stubbornness, The consequence of those signs that Moses brought to the people of Egypt, they were more and more harsh as sign was delivered one after another. And yet, Pharaoh continued to resist. He continued to say no. In final severity, God both demonstrate how much he could protect his own people and how high price there was when he refused what God wants. So let us see, what is the consequence of those signs, those plagues that happen into the Egypt? It is the final sign that the core element of the Passover celebration is the lamb. It is the sign, or it is the image of sacrifice. The sign that God gave to Moses will touch many lives of the people in Egypt. And some of them are prostrating and inconvenient. You can imagine when you wake up in the morning, everything you go, there's full of frogs. In your bed is full of frogs. How can you lay down and sleep? Right? So, wherever you turn, there's a frog. So it is inconvenient. It's also prostrating, because some of the signs were economic hardship. Why? Imagine your plantation is good, then the following day, it was eaten by locust. Right? They all died because of this plague. So it's affect with their economic situation. Because the locust sweeping all the land of Egypt, eating all the crops. And also, they are also experiencing a physical pain. Why? Because boils come out, pop up on their body, that the vaccine cannot do it. Right? So, the final sign that God sent was a plague of devastation among all who would not believe. So those people who did not listen to him, but for those who would listen to God, he provided them a way to avoid the devastation of the people. So that's the second image that we need to remember when we celebrate Passover. The image of bandage and the image of sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 4 to 5, so Moses, thus says the Lord, about midnight, I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle are died. So, there are two things that we need to learn from this image about sacrifice. First, to those who believe, it saved them from the plague of death of the firstborn that came across Egypt that night. But we need to understand it wasn't the blood that saved Israel. It was God who saved the people Israel. Right? It's not the blood, but it's God. The blood was just a sign. It was a sign that the people of Israel believe of what God said, that he won't send an angel that night. They believe what God said, that this a sign would protect them. When the death angel came, they would be saved, because there was a sign of their faith that poured out into their post. So the blood that they will sprinkling on the doorpost, it's not that itself who saved them, but it's God. It's only, that blood is only a sign. Okay? Still, God is saved them. So, the second thing that we need to remember during the image of sacrifice is the bandage of being set free from bondage of slavery, that night God set them free. That night God set them free. So when Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, when they wake up in the morning, how come their kids, their firstborn is died? And it will come to their mind, maybe of the plagues that God sent to them. So it might be, he called all the leaders. He said to them, okay, let's go to the Israelites people and then let them go and serve their master and serve their God and worship their God. Yeah. So Pharaoh and the people of Egypt urged the people of Israel to leave that night. So they were released from the bondage of slavery. So Passover, it reminds us that we are set free from slavery. In Exodus chapter 12, we have a lot of scripture today. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31 to 33, then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, this is Pharaoh, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and begun and bless me also. So the Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the Passover and deliverance from Egypt was henceforth commemorated in annual feast. It became the most important of the three feasts that we were held. They were held in Jerusalem, to which all the people in Israel had an obligation to attend. And Yeshua himself, when he was a child, he might attend also, because God, whom we are serving, make us free. And that night, they released from their bondage the final straw to break the power of slavery for the lives of Israelites. God saved the Jews that night in the basis, not good works, but in the basis of their faith to Yeshua. God told them what to do to avoid the plague of death, and they believed what God said. They trusted God. Because if they don't obey what God said to them to do, nothing. They will not be set free from bondage of slavery. The sacrifice is nothing less for them. But when they heard the commandment of God through Moses, they believed and trusted God. So God said to them, they will kill the lamb and sprinkling the blood of the lamb on the doorpost on both sides and top and the bottom. And this is the perfect illustration of what faith is. So the sacrifice of the lamb was Yeshua, and he wants us to remember every year when we celebrate the Passover that they were delivered, or that we are delivered from slavery, and God saved them. That's why here is the key point that we need to remember as believers of Yeshua, as we celebrate Passover again. We must remember that Yeshua himself is the Passover. It was all God's plan in his perfect, according to his foreknowledge. He worked the miracle of the first Passover in order to put into a place of picture of what he would do through Yeshua. After 1500 years, before Yeshua born, God paint a picture. So when Yeshua came, the Jews Jews might remember that picture and know that Yeshua, God the Messiah. So when Yeshua walks in his ministry and came where John the Baptist baptizing, here is John with some disciples. When he saw Yeshua is coming, he said, Yeshua is coming! It's the Passover of the Lamb. He was sacrificed. It's been sacrificed. So let us therefore celebrate the Passover with a deeper meaning. Not just only celebrating, eating. We need to remember what God has done to that feast. And also in John 1:29, says the next day when he saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Also in 1 Corinthians, it's more clearer when Paul mentioned this one. Cleanse out, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 to 8. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lamb, as you really are unleavened. For Yeshua, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Therefore, let us celebrate that Yeshua is our Passover lamb. He is the one who saved us from death. He is the one who freed us from bondage of sin. It's not an ironic coincidence. It was in the plan of God that Yeshua was crucified. It was God's plan that Yeshua was crucified. Passover is fast approaching. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to celebrate Passover. We will celebrating the Passover feast. The timing of his death was a part of timing of his prophetic plan design to make it clear of what he accomplished through his death. In the beginning of celebration of Passover each year, starting on the 10th day of Nisan, as in Hebrew calendar. So the Passover celebrated every year, beginning of the 10th day of Nisan, that was the day they picked up the lamb and they went out to their flocks and picked up their lamb's sacrifice. In Exodus 12:3 says, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th of day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for an host. They will take the lamb on the 10th day, and 10th day of Nisan, and they watch it, and they protect it, and they will inspect it. So we should imagine, 10th day of Nisan, they are already checking the lamb that they need to sacrifice. For 4 days, they need to take care of it. They need to protect it. They need to inspect it. They will check everything if it's really this kind of lamb is good for sacrifice. So they will take the lamb on the 10th day, and they will sacrifice on the 14th day. So in Yeshua's day, not only its family chose the lamb for their own family of Passover, it also represents God's deliverance. So when the high priest would go outside, not only the ordinary Jew can do the Passover lamb, even the high priest himself would go outside the city of Jerusalem to where the sheep were cared for and examine the fields where the flocks are and pick up the best among the best of the flocks. And he took the 1-year-old lamb that he chose the lamb and led the lamb in the city of Jerusalem. And these people in Jerusalem are preparing themselves when they know that Yeshua, the Passover, is coming. They just make a line. Then when they saw Yeshua is coming. He said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They keep on shouting, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. So each year, the Jews, after they finish the Passover, they sing praises to God. And that last Passover night, the life of Yeshua, life here is in the disciples, sing a song, and they worship God. As they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, they keep on singing. And according to Psalm, this is what they sang. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day what the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that come in the name of the Lord, who have blessed you out in the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's the song that they keep on singing yearly, but they love to sing it. Now, are you still in bondage, bound in your own sin? Are you still in fear of the plague or of death? You don't need to be bondage of sin because the price has already been paid. You may never be afraid for death because it's already been defeated. We cannot access the freedom or salvation the same way the Jews called them deliverance. When you cry out to God for help, you recognize that you cannot do it by your own. After you cry out for help, is then when he will send the rescuer. It is Yeshua who should believe in him. You trusted him. You believe what Yeshua said because it's absolutely through the act of what believers do by doing what God asked. Yeshua is your Passover lamb who freed us from the bondage of sin. He overcame the plagues of death. If that is true in you, to you, I invite you to join us to celebrate the Passover. But to those who don't believe about Yeshua, the Passover lamb, Hebrews 13:5 said, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. And Paul says, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now, not tomorrow, not later, said now is the day of salvation. Shabbat shalom. To God be the glory.